It's always very humbling to me to come together for this ordinance, to think what the Lord Jesus did for us at Calvary. I want to thank him openly, publicly tonight for dying for my sins. I know that if the Lord had not shed his blood at Calvary, that I would have had no way to be saved. And that's true for all of us. And I thank the Lord for what he was willing to do for us. He didn't do it out of obligation. He was not obligated to us in any way. He didn't do it by force. He willingly gave his life. And I'm sure looking forward to seeing the Lord Jesus here in a little while when this life has come to a close. I want to read some scripture before you from Exodus chapter 12. If you'd like to read with me, please turn to Exodus chapter 12. And I want to begin reading with verse 1. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now that's reading from Exodus chapter 12, the first 14 verses. And as it was mentioned in these verses here that I've read before you, and as I said earlier in opening the service, that we as Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, we have come together this evening to observe an ordinance. We have come to observe one of the two ordinances that the Lord left for His church. The Lord's Supper, communion. And as we read here in Exodus chapter 12, when it spoke about what they were to do with the killing of this lamb and how they were to take that blood and apply it there to the doorpost, in the last verse that I read, the instruction to the children of Israel was that they were to keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And so when we read about the Passover, we are also reading about an ordinance. Now, we are not here this evening to observe this ordinance. We're not here to observe the ordinance of the Passover. It was a Jewish ordinance. This was an ordinance that was given to national Israel to observe, and we're not national Israel. We're spiritual Israel. And so we are not going tonight to be observing the ordinance that we are about to administer and observe in the way that they observed this ordinance. I want to for us to look at Hebrews chapter 9, and I want to look at some verses in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 22. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now, we are here this evening to observe the ordinance that the Lord left for His church, that by observing this, that we may, as Paul said in his writing in 1 Corinthians 11, that by the observation of this ordinance, that we would show His death until He comes. And that's the purpose of this ordinance. And so the Lord, during His time on earth, during His ministry, He instituted this ordinance, and He left it for His church to observe. Now, there have been, people in different situations that have gone through the motions of taking communion, but I'm telling you tonight that the Lord left this ordinance for His church. And she is the one that has truly the authority from him to observe it. And so, as I said, we are not here tonight to observe the ordinance of the Passover that I have read to you about. But the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in the New Testament church, it's about Christ. It's about Christ specifically, about his death. But, you know, so was the Jewish ordinance of the Passover. It was also about Christ. And, you know, truly, it's not necessary to prove that by doing any more than quoting one verse, one statement that the Apostle Paul made when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, in that chapter where he was exhorting the Corinthians to maintain discipline in the church, that they might keep the church clean, that they may keep it pure the way that the Lord would have it to be. In that fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 7, Paul wrote, and he said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And so Christ, Paul refers to Christ in that verse as our Passover. Now, we know that in these verses that have been read, we know that God was about to bring his people out of Egypt. He was about to bring them out on the Exodus. And as we open the book of Exodus, that's what we are reading about. And he had brought plague after plague through Pharaoh's refusal to heed to the words of Moses and Aaron and let the people go. God had begun to manifest his great power, and he began to bring plagues upon the Egyptians. And the last plague that he was going to bring was the death of the firstborn. And he told the children of Israel that they were to take the Passover lamb, and they were to take it on the 10th day of the month. They were to keep it until the 14th day of the month, and then they were to kill the lamb, and they were to take the blood, and they were to strike the blood on the doorpost there. And you know, he said, when I pass through Egypt to bring about this plague, the death of the firstborn, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so you know, that's the way that it's going to be for every child of God. He has to see the blood. And I'm thankful tonight that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to my heart. I'm thankful that I have been saved, because that's the only thing that is going to justify any of us before God. When we stand before a righteous and a holy God, that's the only thing that's going to justify us. He's going to have to see the blood. Now, they could have they could have tried to do something other than what God had instructed them. They could have tried to have took something else and put it on those doorposts, and the Lord would not have passed over them. He would not have spared them. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And the Lord, he spent hundreds and hundreds of years proving, and I believe showing to us what we are here for tonight. He typified the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. After that After what we read about here in the 12th chapter of Exodus, when you go a little bit further into the book of Exodus, and when you get, I believe, maybe somewhere around the 25th chapter or so of Exodus, you begin to read about God instructing Moses to build the tabernacle. And he instructed him, he gave to him in his instructions the dimensions of how it was to be built. He told him the type of material it was to be made of, the color that it was to be made of, the color of the thread that they were to use. And he gave him very specific instructions on how he was to build the tabernacle. And he said, see that you do it according to the pattern. And you know, the things that we do in the Lord's work today, we need to see that we do it according to the pattern. God has given us the pattern, just the way that he gave Moses the pattern there in the mount. And he said, you do it exactly the way that I showed you there in the mount. It is to be built the way that I said to build it. And so, you know, the tabernacle was built, and it had two compartments. It had the first sanctuary where the priest would go in, the Levitical priest would go in, and they would do the things, they would fulfill their duty in accomplishing the service of God. But there was that veil, and beyond that veil was known as the holiest of all, or the Holy of Holies, and in there was the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat above it, and the cherubims on either side of the mercy seat. And God had assured the high priest that that was where he would meet with him. Right there above the mercy seat, between those cherubims, God said, I will meet with you there. And when he went in, he had to take blood with him. He had to take the blood of animals. They would come, and they would animals would be killed. The people would bring their animal as a sacrifice. God required that it be a certain type of animal that, you know, he wouldn't accept if they brought an animal that was sick or something that they didn't want. God wanted the best, didn't he? He wanted the best. He still wants the best. And I'll tell you what God did. He gave the best. He gave the very best so that we could have eternal salvation. And so they would take this blood, the high priest would take this blood in, and he would offer it up there in the presence of God. He would offer it up as an atonement for sin. But, you know, after that was done, the people's sins were not taken away by that. And the 10th chapter of Hebrews made that very plain to us. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. All that the blood of those animals could do was to foreshadow the one that would come and that would make the sacrifice that would be acceptable to God for the remission of our sins. They came year after year there to the tabernacle. They came, I read, where Solomon at one time offered up 1,000 burnt offerings on the brazen altar there unto the Lord. They came year after year, and they brought the animals, and they went through the ritual. They did what God, how that God had instructed them to do, and they went through that, and they killed the animal, and they offered the blood of the animal, and then they would come back the next year, and they would do the same thing, and the next year, and they would do the same thing, and it never did take away their sins, and it never was for that purpose. As I said, it was to show the true sacrifice that was going to come. But the Hebrew writer here told us that Christ, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, Brother Ernest, the writer of the song was exactly right. The next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. Jesus didn't have to offer himself year after year after year. When he came, he made the perfect sacrifice. He made the sacrifice that only had to be offered one time because God accepted it. And I love to read about how that when the Lord was on the cross and he was giving his life, and just before he gave up the ghost, he said, "It's finished. It's finished." And that place, which at that time was had the temple, was known as the temple rather than the tabernacle. That place where for years and years and years and years they had come, and they had the high priest had taken that blood in there beyond that veil and offered the blood of those animals. Jesus Christ, the Lord, hung on Calvary, giving his very life for the sins of the world. And when he said, "It is finished," the Bible tells us that the veil of that temple just tore in two from the top to the bottom. It was over, folks. Those things were no longer necessary. Some believe that, some believe that the Bible teaches us that God's going to restore that. They teach that the Lord is going to come and he's going to secretly, take the church out of the world and he's going to reestablish national Israel. Let me tell you something. After Christ came and he made the sacrifice that he made, there was absolutely no need for animal sacrifices anymore. What they were used for and what they were showing had been fulfilled, and it's still fulfilled today. And I'll tell you, salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not in anyone else. He paid the sacrifice for our sins. He paid the debt that we owed. He gave his life a ransom for our sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. It is not possible, not even possible, that the blood of bulls and of goats could take away sins. Not even possible. But what did John the Baptist say about Jesus when he was there at the Jordan baptizing and he saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The ordinance that we will observe here this evening, the elements, will symbolize the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unleavened bread, symbolizing his body that was broken for us at Calvary. The blood, or the cup rather, symbolizing the blood that he shed. We do it with great humility. I'll tell you what, folks, if this service doesn't humble you, there's something wrong. Something wrong in your heart if this service doesn't humble you. And so, I'm thankful for what the Lord did for us. I believe we have a better ordinance than what national Israel had. And in fact, as we get ready to observe this, it was this ordinance, it was the Passover ordinance that the Lord had met with his disciples to observe when he instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. They had gathered together there to eat the Passover, and the Bible tells us that as they were eating, that he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And I'm glad those old things are passed away. The new covenant is just better. I mean, the Hebrew writer said it's based upon better promises. It's based upon a better sacrifice. We enjoy things. I'm thankful to God for the time in which I was born. We enjoy things and are aware of things that the prophets, they just desired to look into. But we're experiencing those things, and this is a very sacred service that we are assembled for here this evening. And so I want to ask our brethren to come at this time. We are thankful tonight to have some visiting with us. We want you to feel welcome. But here at Fairview Memorial, we believe and we practice in taking ordinance with taking this ordinance with the members of the church. And so I'm going to ask the deacon brethren to come at this time and prepare the Lord's table.